Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And a good and happy Saturday morning to you. I got a little bit of a tip here for you. If you're going to get some outdoor stuff you want to get done, I would say do it early this week, unless it's something you can do in the rain and some brisk winds, because that's what's a-coming. And I'll have the Coastal Marine Forecast from the National Weather Service coming up shortly. One activity that goes on rain or shine is the 46th Annual Louisiana Wildfowl Festival. And joining us a little later, live from the Castine Center in Mandeville's Pelican Park, where it will be opening the doors up about 9 a.m., we're going to have show directors Emil Broussard and Gene Hebert. We're going to find out what's in store for visitors to that wonderful event. And there's another thing that has gone on, I believe. It didn't get a lot of publicity, but there is an experimental stocking of Florida strain bass to improve the quality of the bass in Lake Buff. Now, I'll tell you what I think its chances of being successful are and more details about it, and also like to get your opinion on what you think about it. And you can always do that via our real-time live text message board. And as always, if you had a successful fishing or hunting trip, or maybe one not so successful but was kind of special and you want to talk about it or have us announce it for it and share it with our listeners, we'll add it to the comments and questions that come in and the reports from our professional captains and marina operators. Again, you can do that by texting your messages, your questions, your comments on our text line. Comes direct here to the studio real time at 504-260-1870. That's 260-1870. Area code is 504 for those of you outside the dialing area. We also have another event going on indoors today. There's going to be over at our friends at No Wake Outfitters in Metairie on Airline Drive. They're going to have their regular fly tying class going on. But after that, at about 12:30, the American Saltwater Guide Association will be hosting a town hall meeting to discuss the current menhaden fishery management. And that should be very interesting. It's open to the public, and we'll give you more details on the location. It's at Airline Drive in Metairie. That will follow the fly tying class. That's at 10:30, and 12:30, they'll have the town hall. And by the way, next week, the director of CCA, Coastal Conservation Association, Rad Trasher, is going to join us to talk about how you can get involved in an issue that's going to be brought forward before the November meeting of the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission. I haven't seen it yet, but there's a proposal in the works that will try to allow the pogie boats to operate even closer to our shoreline than they do now. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on. Also have the story of a man who risked money and his freedom because he couldn't stand to miss out hunting deer. He ended up as today's bad boy of the outdoors. Also want to wish good luck to the youth hunters that will be participating today in Dixie Ranch in Lacombe's Youth Hunting Weekend this weekend. In fact, all across Louisiana on private land, the youths are allowed to get out there and get a little bit of a jump on the season in both the duck, and they also have it for the deer season. And also, you honorably discharged veterans, did you know it? On private land, you get the jump, give you a little bit of a benefit there. All right, Coastal Marine Forecast, Small Craft Advisory is up now. It's going to be up through tomorrow. Today, you're looking offshore, east winds 15 to 25 knots, 4 to 6 feet offshore, nowhere to be. And tomorrow, going to be even a little worse, but the winds will switch and come out of the south, 15 to 25. And again, there'll be about 3 to 5 foot seas. On the interior lakes and bays today, southeast winds to east, 12 to 20. It's not there yet, but it's going to be building as the day goes on. And tomorrow, southerly winds, 12 to 20. It will not make the switch till north until Monday. Average tide, 1.2, but you can kind of throw that out the window. 80% chance of rain tomorrow, 50% today and tonight. It's not a pretty picture, and after having all that clear radar, I'm looking at my radar this morning. It's very colorful. Greens and yellows and oranges, they're in Texas, but they're headed to Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. We'll be back to talk more about the great outdoors, get you some fishing info. Take your comments and questions at 260-1870, area code 504, right after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And let's take you there right now. Campos Marina, Shell Beach, St. Bernard Parish in Louisiana. Robbie Campo joins us back from a deer hunting trip in Kentucky. Robbie, how'd the trip go?
Don, I tell you, it was so hot up there. It was 82 degrees. I didn't even pull a bow out the case.
Ouch.
I just did a lot of work. Yes, I said, no way. So we went and we're getting ready. We went and filled some feeders and got everything, you know, tidied up for the next couple of weeks here when gun season opens. So that's, you know, it was a lot of work. But the guys that own the property next door went out, got full of red bugs. I said, nope.
Well, yeah. No. Let me tell you what, 80 degrees in the woods this time of year, man, there's ticks, there's red bugs, there's mosquitoes, sometimes gnats, and, you know, it can be more miserable than down there in Shell Beach sometimes. Well, let me ask you this. Y'all have cameras set up? What are y'all seeing on your cameras?
Yeah, we see it. We got a couple good bucks on camera, Don. Just, you know, for the 5.5 tons of corn we put out since August, I thought I would see a little bit more action than I'm seeing. But you know, we are surrounded by crop fields. So, you know, we got agriculture fields and soybeans and corn wrapped all the way around us. And you know, they started. You know, it's harvest season up there right now, so these guys are combining and everything. So, you know, you go ride in the evening, and you see all these big bucks in the woods. But that's all about to change here real soon when this rut kicks in. I saw a lot of scrapes on the ground, so pre-rut's happening. They got some things going on up there. It's gonna kick off here. It's going to be really good here really soon. So, but it's just like this fishing. You know, we're in what's called the pre-rut of this fishing, this fall fishing kicking off. You know, this week here, Don, we saw a bunch of trout caught right here in Shell Beach, Duluth Canal, Eastern Shoreline, Lake Bourne. But I tell you, it's only going to get better when this front passes through and things, you know, it was something that we should have already had. We didn't have it yet. We always look for these fronts, and these fronts, you know, to kind of kick things off. Water temperatures are dropping, but it's not dropping fast enough. We got a 6 miles an hour east wind this morning. Water's really, really high. It's almost on a dock, not quite there yet, but it's coming up there pretty good. A lot of mosquitoes around here with this high tides. It hatched the mosquitoes. I mean, they're probably the worst I think I've ever seen them in my life. So if you don't have bug spray, I got it here. So I'm telling you, it's at dusk, it's terrible. It's unbelievable. So I don't know who St. Bernard, I know who St. Bernard has doing their mosquito control, but if we're paying them any money, we're wasting it. That's all I could tell you. It's not, they're not doing a job that needs to be done. I tell you how miserable it is. The deer that's out to spoil is up on the road here this morning. So that's how miserable it is back there.
Yeah.
But anyway, the fishing has been off the charts. Red fishing has been, oh my God, it's been the best I've seen it in so long, Don. I swear, they get catching so much redfish around here. Magnolia Lagoon, Stump Lagoon, you know, back up in, you know, in that Biloxi Marsh has just been on fire. South of the Mystico, you know, going down to Delacroix, it's just been the same thing. It's been easy pickings. Pulling marsh pumpkins out of the grass. It's just been phenomenal red fishing. Plenty white trout. In the Mystico itself up there by Violet, in the middle of the channel, 35 feet of water. You go over there and you drop two shrimp down on a shad rig or a double rig, and you're pulling up two white trout at a time. Fishing has just been excellent this week. I know we need this front, but I hate to see it happen on a weekend when everybody's looking to go fishing.
Yeah, it seems we get in that pattern sometimes where the fronts always come through on the weekends and the middle of the week is nice. It would be great if it was the opposite. But to give you an idea, Robbie, I'm looking at the wind speeds right now, and where you are, it's very light. But, boy, down at Southwest Pass, it's already humping at 26 knots. So it's coming. It's going to be blowing and getting rain later on. So that window's going to be closing if somebody wants to get out there quick and get it done.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what I'm saying, Don. As I'm talking to you, it was 6 miles an hour before I came on radio. I'm starting to feel it picking up. Now it's blowing about maybe 8 to 10. So out the east, it's definitely coming. I don't think your window of opportunity is going to be too big today or for too long, and you're going to be dealing with some. You're going to be dealing with some extremely hard winds this morning. I think the rain is supposed to hold off till tonight and into tomorrow, but you're just going to be dealing with a lot of wind today.
Absolutely. Well, other than that, things are looking good. And as you said, as soon as this front comes through, drops those water temperatures down. Normally, you know, according to my records, we normally get some type of a nice cool front in mid-October, right around the 15th, and it's a little bit late this year. We didn't quite get it, and I think it kind of messed up your Kentucky deer hunt, but I bet you it's good up there right now. It's probably cooled off a lot.
Yeah, I got some buddies up there, and they said it was in the 40s, so I think, you know, that's where you want to have it, you know. You want to at least be in the 40s, so, you know, that's where it's at now. So, but anyway, it is what it is. That ain't no big deal. Look, not a hill for a mountain climber, Don. I'll be up there. I'm going back up. I'm leaving Halloween night, and I'm going to be there till the 14th. So I'm going to get them. I'm going sitting. I'll be hunting with the crossbow in the beginning of November the 8th. The gun season opens, and I'll be ready.
Well, good luck, and I'm sure we'll have Glenn checking in with us to keep us up to date what's going on back there at the beach.
Oh yes, sir. We sure will.
All right, Robbie. Thank you, my friend. Take care. We'll catch up with you next time. Good luck on your hunt.
All right, Don, talk to you later, buddy. Bye-bye.
There he goes, Robbie Campo, Campo's Marina in Shell Beach. All right, coming up next, we're going to head out to the west where, boy, it's bearing down pretty close. It's actually that front is around, I think it just passed through Houston, headed to the east. It's around Beaumont, not far from Hackberry, and we'll talk to Captain Kirk Stansel, find out what the situation is over around Calcasieu, Cameron Parish, that area there. But he's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And let's take you out west and talk to Captain Kirk. Kirk Stansel, that is, at Hackberry Rod and Gun. Good morning, Kirk. What's going on over there at Hackberry at the Rod and Gun Club Lodge this morning?
Waiting on this weather.
Yeah, it's coming. Not far from you.
Pardon me?
It doesn't look like it's too far from you around Beaumont right now.
It looks like it's going to hit about the time we would be leaving the dock.
So, yeah.
We're not going to leave the dock. But it's supposed to be out of here, you know, pretty quick, 8:30, 9 o'clock. So I think we'll hang around and go fishing afterwards.
Yeah, it's moving pretty quick, and it's pretty thin line. Might be a little bit of drizzle and stuff, cloud cover behind it. But, yeah, it should be a good change. It should swap the – I don't know if it's going to swap the wind around until Monday. They're talking about, you know, going to south and southeast and then maybe finally moving around to the north by Monday.
Yeah, but light. It's not supposed to be a big push, a big north wind. So.
Well, hopefully y'all get everything in that you need to do. How's the flounder fishing been over there? You know, it's closed right now, and I'm sure that
exactly.
They're showing up, huh?
We're catching some here and there, but, you know, we're not targeting them because you can't keep them. And, you know, normally this time of year we fish the channel, the edge of the channel down around the Cameron area. Well, actually, even up toward Hackberry and all, there's spots, you know, when they're leaving and they just stage along that ship channel, and you can whack on them pretty good. But we're not even trying for them.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Kirk. Have you ever caught a limit of 10 flounders? Limit is 10. Have you ever caught 10 flounders, one person?
Oh, yeah.
On one trip, you have? Yeah.
Oh, a bunch of times, yeah. I've had three people in a boat caught 40 a bunch of times.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, that over this way, I guess most people don't target them. Or when they find them, they don't want to stay on them, or for whatever reason, they won't really catch a limit of them. It's usually, you know, one, two here, add it to the catch.
Oh, no. Before this limit was, or while the season was closed, man, we used to, in October, November, we'd target them, go down, and a lot of our boats would come in with their limits.
Well, it's always good when you can do that. Well, let's talk a little bit about speckled trout and redfish. When this stuff gets through and you guys head out, what's going to be the plan?
Well, this weather, it depends on what this weather does, how much wind comes up with it, because our best fishing has been out in the open water over reefs and stuff. That's where most of the trout have been caught. And the wind we're having right now, I think that's going to mess that up for today. And but that's been what's been happening. Now, there have been some birds working. You know, you got to be selective in the areas you fish them, because, there's some areas of West Cove, for instance, that you're just going to catch little sand trout, small trout, and gaff top. And there's other areas that where you're going to have nice keeper trout. So under the birds. And the same way in Big Lake. Mm-hmm. But it's mainly been the best fishing has been just drifting the reefs or going out and spot locking or power pulling down on a reef.
How about redfish?
Redfish are still, you know, not really like they should be. You know, that snowstorm and freeze this last winter did a number on our redfish, because there were a lot of reports, and I thought for myself just hundreds of redfish dying in the marsh.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's redfish have been tough. We have been catching some. It's hard. You catch either undersized or oversized mostly right now. It's hard to get slot reds.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully that'll change. They grow pretty quick, and maybe by next season they'll be back to normal if we don't get a real hard winter, which if we do, maybe that'll bring some ducks down. I've been getting reports that the teal that we waited for finally arrived in big numbers. Exactly. People are starting to see a lot of teal. What you seeing in the marshes down there?
A lot of blue-winged teal.
Uh-huh.
We see, that's what we're seeing. A handful of gadwall, but mostly blue-winged teal.
Well, we still got some time, and could be a couple of fronts maybe that'll come through before the season opens and bring us some new birds coming in.
I hope so. You know, it's going to bring them down. The marshes are in excellent shape. I mean, the duck food's the best I've seen it all, shoot, in 10, 12, 15 years. The marshes are real pretty.
Well, whoever caused all of those tropical storms to turn into the Atlantic and head back to the Northeast, I wish they would do that every year. Huh? What a great season this was.
We've been blessed that way, that's for sure. You know, it's, the good Lord's on our side here.
Well, we deserve a break. We've had a lot of tough years with storms and hurricanes, that's for sure. Well, Kirk, if somebody wants to get in on some of the action down there, you got a great lodge, y'all got great cooking staff, you got a great place to stay overnight, it's easy to find, and expert guides. Tell us how to get them.
Okay, well, the number is 337-762-3391, and our website's Hackberry Rod and Gun. You spell out and.com. You know, we got that live camera, that live feed, so that's always cool to look at.
Yeah, see what's coming in on the dock. Well, look, after you have breakfast and that weather moves through, go wake them guys up and y'all get out and catch some fish.
Okay, we're going to do that, Don.
All right, Kirk. Thank you. We'll talk to you next time.
You bet. Thank you. You got a great show.
Thank you, Kirk. There he goes, Captain Kirk, headed sometimes where no man has gone before. All right, well, when we come back, I want to talk about the RAU and the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries putting in a Florida bass project at Lake Buff. Did you hear anything about it? Probably didn't. You'll hear it right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, our text message board is open at 504-260-1870. Your fishing reports, your comments, your questions. I'll ask you to comment in just a little bit on a project that's underway to help improve the quality of bass that are being caught at Lake Buffin. I'll tell you about that in a moment. But I did want to mention to you, those of you who are in the West Bank area, the West Bank chapter of Ducks Unlimited has their banquet planned if you're interested in going. It's going to be this coming Wednesday, October 29th, at the Amos Cormier Jr. Pavilion. That is on Edward Hebert Boulevard in Belchase. The doors open at 6th. And if you want to get tickets, they will be available at the door if you can't get them in advance. Again, that's the West Bank chapter, Ducks Unlimited, going to be in Belchase, Amos Cormier Pavilion on Edward Hebert Boulevard. All right, we come back after this quick 10-second pause. I'm going to talk about this project that's underway to establish improved bass fishing in Lake Buff, popular bass fishing area located in southeast Louisiana. We'll tell you more about it, but first we're going to pause just 10 quick seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Recently, I found out pretty much by accident that an organization, which is, I think it's fairly new, it's called the Responsible Anglers United. They're a conservation group of fishermen from Lafourche Parish, and they are going to be working with the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries to stock 32,000 pure Florida bass in Lake Buff. Now, this was supposed to happen 1 week ago yesterday, and I'm assuming that it took place, and the Florida bass fingerlings are in there now. The purpose of this, of course, is to increase the size and the quality. This was done statewide many years ago. They tried to bring in, see, a Florida bass grows much larger than a northern bass, which we have here in Louisiana. And in an effort to try to improve the size of the fish here, they were introduced to several of our water bodies. And what happens is they breed with the local fish. They actually crossbreed, and they become what's known an F1. That would be the first generation when you cross the Florida bass and the northern largemouth bass. Supposedly, they grow bigger, and because they've got the genetics from the northern strain of largemouth as opposed to Florida, they can take the cold much better. The problem with Florida bass, they grow big, but they need warm water. They really can't take the cold like a northern bass can. Then you have an F2, which when two of the hybrids, which would be the ones that come from both the Florida and the northern and have both genetics, when they breed, then they create a second generation, which would be an F2. And that one, of course, is a little bit less predictable of what happens and probably will not grow as large. Well, what happened with this big program and all the research data that I've seen from Wildlife and Fisheries, when Florida bass are introduced into Louisiana waters, it becomes watered down. They lose the Florida genetic traits and the northern bass genetics take over. And this can be tested. They can find out what they are by doing, I forget the name of the process they do, but it's a test that they can do on the fish tissue, and they can tell you whether it's a pure Florida, whether it's a pure northern, or if it's an F1 or an F2. I'm sure they put a lot of money into this, and I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but I don't give it a whole lot of hope that this is going to produce larger fish in Lake Buff. Lake Buff is a great bass fishery. It's got a lot of bass action in it. In fact, I think the Bassmasters Classic was won when it came here to the Louisiana area by a fisherman who fished and caught his fish in Lake Buff. But every time they've introduced these Florida strain bass into Louisiana waters, they just have not, they've just kind of gone away. They successfully breed, but the northern bass and take over. It just dominates the Florida bass, and then I guess the cold weather may affect them too. But anyway, what they're hoping to do, and I think it went in, they partnered with an organization called the American Sportfish Hatchery. So I don't know what the cost was, but I guess it's worth the try and the experiment, and they will be over the next couple of years be catching these fish and testing them and finding out whether this program was successful or not. If it is, then maybe they can expand it to other areas. But looking at the length of a time that a regular Louisiana bass lives and how prolific they are, that they overtake the Florida the characteristics of Florida bass when they breed with them. I don't think it's going to work. I'd like to hear from you, though. What do you think about this project? It's really an experiment to try to create bigger, more bass, not more bass, but bigger quality bass in Lake Buff by introducing Florida strain bass to it. 504-260-1870 is our text board line. Go ahead and text us. When we come back, I want to also talk about a little bit about the pogie boat situation, because I don't know, I have not seen what the proposal will be coming up at the November commission meeting, but according to sources, it's not good. They want to actually back out on the deal that was made between the state of Louisiana and the menhaden industry and in their favor. And we'll talk about that a little more and get your opinions on that. We got more fishing reports coming up, and also our special interview with the guys at the Louisiana Wildfowl Festival, Gene Hebert and Emil Broussard. 46 years it's been going on, and it's got some wonderful things to do and see there. We'll be back right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, welcome back in. We'll get to our text message board. I got, our friend Lafitte LT. He says, looks like the specs are finally starting to show up. Any updates with the red snapper quota? Yeah, we're stuck on about 97% of our quota has been caught, leaving only 3%. Given the weather conditions this weekend, probably won't be many caught, but it won't take many, and I am anticipating at any moment, any day, any time, to get the word that the season will be shut down. But as of right now, it is open. All right, we got Don Brandon Jolie headed to the woods chasing a deer or two with the youth hunters, Peyton and Paxton Jolie. Well, good luck to you guys, Peyton and Paxton. Hope you bag your deer on this special season for the youngsters. All right, here's one on with regard to the stocking of the fish. You forget about locals, mount big fish over rice. Hard to survive when eaten up. Well, yeah, we have regular limits, and I don't think the bass populations are in any serious situation as far as survival of the species. They're very prolific, and we've got plenty of them. But yeah, a lot of people take them and eat them, and a lot of people strictly believe they should be released. But that's a factor, but hopefully the limits we've got in will help contain it. There's a couple of different places that have different limits. We also got a listener, Kate, who called in, had a question about restocking bass in the Atchafalaya. That was done following Hurricane Andrew. There was the devastation of bass when Hurricane Andrew came up the Atchafalaya Basin and turned the water over and killed millions of fish. And there was a restocking program that went on, and the fish came back. And, you know, fish are very prolific, and if you've got the habitat, the fish will be there. Restocking it might accelerate a little bit, but to do it right now, from the research I see on the Atchafalaya, they just did a study, and the bass there don't get very big, and they don't live very long. They kind of play hard, live fast, and die young in the Atchafalaya Basin. And again, there's so many of them, it's so prolific, that introducing Florida bass, I don't know if that's what you're talking about, or just regular bass, I don't think it would be worth the effort, the expense, and the time, because we've already been there, tried it, and it's not that successful. But again, the more fish that are caught and released, that's probably the best way to try to increase the quality and the size of the fish in the basin and in other areas too. All right, I wanted to talk a minute about, I got a message in from the American Sport Fishing Association. They are taking a stance on the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission. They're going to be considering action, and this is the best I've got. I have not seen a formal agenda with a proposal yet, but the menhaden industry is going to ask the commission to reduce that one-half-mile buffer that we've got from the shoreline in Louisiana down to a quarter mile in most areas. They are opposed to it, as many people are, for a lot of reasons. The Coastal Conservation Association, the CCA, is adamantly opposed to this. They were very instrumental in working out a deal with the menhaden industry. We set regulations to where the entire coast is one-half-mile buffer, 3 miles off of Grand Isle and 1 mile off of Holly Beach. And it's been just this one season it's been in effect, and now the industry is coming back. And according to what I'm hearing, they want to reduce it to a quarter mile. There is going to be something on the books for the commission meeting I think it's November the 6th. That's a Thursday, but I'm not quite sure what form it's going to take. But to give you an idea of how our neighboring states in the Gulf of America look at menhaden fishing, Florida bans it completely in their state waters. You cannot purse seine, or there is no menhaden fishery there. Alabama, same thing. No menhaden fishing in their state water. In Mississippi now, they have a full 1 mile off the shore. They allow it. And that includes a mile from their island. So that puts it pretty far out there away from the near coast. Texas has a half mile coastwide and a 1 mile buffer around the jetties and passes. But they also have a total allowable catch limit. When the industry reaches a certain limit, they shut it down. Not so in here in Louisiana. After all the bitter strife and controversy in the legislature and the commission meetings and the presentations, we came out with a deal where the entire coast of Louisiana would be 1 half-mile buffer, 3 miles off Grand Isle, 1 mile off Holly Beach. Well, they're not happy. They want to, according to what I'm hearing, shut that down and go to 1/4 mile off the coast, which creates more of a problem with the interference with coastal restoration projects. When you get into our shallow waters in 1/4 mile, a lot of the silt that's been pumped in and the projects to help restore some of Louisiana's coast can be destroyed. I actually witnessed it. I saw it, and I've got videotape. We were shooting a TV show, and I actually saw it going on. Now, they supposedly have cleaned up the act. They're supposed to be adhering to the half-mile buffer, but according to what I'm hearing, they no longer want to do that. Now, whether the CCA is going to come back with something that's maybe more restrictive and say, well, look, you guys want to come within 1/4 mile? We think you should be out 1 mile. Or maybe like Florida and Alabama, ban it completely. Personally, I think the menhaden industry has a sweet deal here in Louisiana. It's better than any other state that they can go fish. They make more money here than anywhere else, and yet they want more. Well, if you're interested in submitting comments, you can send them to the Wildlife and Fisheries, the WLF.LA.gov. Go to their website. You can see how to comment there. Or you can, and the CCA is asking to show up in person. This will be at the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries headquarters. That's on Quail Drive in Baton Rouge. That's where most of the commission meetings are held. It'll be coming up Thursday, November 6th at 9:30 in the morning. And I'm sure it's going to be a packed house. And next week, we're going to be talking to the CCA director, Rad Trasher, who is actively involved in setting the deal. And now that they're reneging on this deal, we'll find out what the repercussions would be that the Coastal Conservation Association's recommended. All right, we got a break coming up here, and on the backside of that, we're going to take you down to Grand Isle, talk to Captain Darrell Carpenter to find out what he's got planned on this frontal system weekend, we're going to call it. It's moving in. It's right now approaching the state line, going to be here on southeast Louisiana by this evening, tonight, and early Sunday, and then on into the Biloxi area and the Mobile. Good news is it seems to be weakening the further east it goes, and hopefully that'll hold. We're back right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, let's talk to Captain Darryl Carpenter. Grand Isle is a target, and Darryl, looks like we got a front moving in, and it's probably going to be, say, around your area by this afternoon, maybe midday. What you think?
Yeah, Dodge, from everything I'm seeing on the weather, on everything, it's going to be probably later this afternoon before the actual rain gets here, but it doesn't matter because of sucking effects here. If you're going to fish this morning, you're going to have to fish, you know, for the most part, to be pleasurable, you got to fish right behind Grand Isle because that south, you know, that wind's got that south, southeast, southwest all component to it, and it's probably up to about 20 miles an hour already. So, yeah, it's going to be a windy day. It's going to be a high tide day because, of course, we're on a falling tide now, but that tide came up real high last night with that wind. So, I mean, yeah, it's just one of those pre-storm days. It's, if you go, you need to stay close, be careful. And, you know, just make sure you got a plan to get back if that weather pops up on you.
Yeah. Well, what do you think is going to happen once the front comes through? We're looking at north winds by Monday and maybe a little cooler temperatures.
Yeah, Don, and look, it's kind of already been happening. I mean, we're actually starting to get somewhat of a consistent redfish bite. Yeah, I mean, we're having to travel a long ways, you know, to find land anymore, but getting up in the marsh, you know, between here and Lafitte has been actually pretty daggum good and been producing a lot of redfish, a lot of keeper reds. Now, there's still a bunch of bulls mixed in with them. From a couple of the other guys that have been using shrimp, I've been getting some of the first reports of sheephead starting to gang up. They're occasionally getting on a sheephead bite where there's more than just a stray one here. You know, it's four or five or six of them together. So the sheephead are starting to gang up. And of course, we're still pecking away real good at those white trout and, you know, occasional specks mixed in. And everybody is saying the same thing. I mean, we've been reporting that they're inconsistent, but every speck of trout we're catching, I mean, when we do catch them, there's no measuring them. It's all, you know, I mean, last week, my average was probably 2.5 to 3 pounds. I mean, they're all big trout. I mean, there are no gangs, no schools of them around right now, but when you do catch them, they're all big ones, stragglers trying to catch up with the rest of the migration.
Yeah, well, that's some pretty good news. As far as the redfish, we're starting to hear some people, you know, the redfishing is perking up on the east. Now, over on the west, Kirk says it's still, he thinks it got hit really hard by the freeze down there. What do you think the redfishing situation is going to be this fall?
Well, we got hit pretty hard with the freeze, for sure. I can tell you, though, I mean, our red fishing was already down because of, you know, all of the other factors that we had. I mean, it's a little controversial, but I've seen earlier in the year, we saw a whole lot. We had a good spawn, so we saw a whole lot of small redfish. So, you know, signs are hopeful. I mean, our decrease limit and everything ought to preserve some of them. I'm hopeful that we have a decent redfish year.
Mm-hmm. Are you hearing anything about the snapper fishing? I'm waiting to get a closure on it. They were at 97% of the quota, so, you know, I'm pretty sure it's going to shut down any day now.
No, I haven't, Don. And you know, I mean, I can only go judge by the two or three marinas that I see. And, you know, last week there might have been one or two offshore boats running around. It just doesn't look like there's been a whole lot of effort, leastwise not from this area. But, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, they always say we need to finalize these numbers. Sometimes I don't understand. I mean, I understand their charge is to maximize access. But if you're within 3% of the close, you're going to close it before you go over and have a repayment, you know?
Yeah, right. Well, the repayment is not fun when you got to take them off of next year's quota. But, you know, certainly you got to give La Creole credit for putting that program together. It certainly has allowed and brought back a lot of the snapper fishermen in Louisiana, given a lot more opportunity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They need to apply that. They need to go ahead and apply it to the entire fishery. They need to bring the federally permitted boats in with it. To where they make everything a level playing field. I mean, the federal permit boats need to have the same limits and same catch quotas and everything as the non-permitted boats. And just bring it in all in the L.A. Creole, which is a much better system.
Absolutely. Well, Dow, if somebody wants to get a hold of you and get a trip or get some information at the about the Grand Isle area and some of the areas close by, tell them how to get you.
Well, Don, as always, they can find me on your website at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. They can find a lot of the information they need at my site at realscreamers.com. Or they can just pick up the phone at 225-937-6288.
All right. Very good, Dow. One last quick question for you. LCBA, Louisiana Charter Boat Association, I'm sure they're going to be represented at that commission meeting with regard to the Menhaden boats, huh?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. There are probably multiple captains there, and I'm sure Richard's going to be there.
All right, we'll look forward to that. Look forward to your report next week, Dow. Hopefully get through this weather and get some good, nice fall-winter fishing in.
Thank you, Don. Have a good day.
All righty, there he goes, Captain Darryl Carpenter, realscreamers.com. All right, when we come back after the top of the hour break, we're going to get back to some of your text messages. Thanks to all of you who are texting in with your comments, questions, and reports. We also have Captain Mike Gallo, born on the bayou. We got a paddler's report for you. We're also going to talk to Captain Ryan Lambert, and we'll chat with the directors of the Louisiana Wildfowl Festival going on at Pelican Park in Mandeville today and tomorrow. I'm talking about Gene Hebert and Emile Broussard. So we got a busy show. And, oh, don't forget, we got a Bad Boy of the Outdoors story to tell you about. All coming up in the next hour of the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, here's the outdoors situation. We are sitting here along the Gulf Coast waiting for a frontal system that is approaching right now across the Louisiana state line from Texas. It is headed from west to east and going to be inundating the area with some really badly needed rain. It's a shame it comes on the weekend, but should be hitting the mid-Louisiana area this afternoon. Maybe even by the time LSU plays, it might still be around. It might be through. And then moving on into Mississippi and Alabama. It's moving pretty quickly, so and it's losing intensity the further east it goes. So that's kind of the good news. And we've got lots of stuff going on. Hunting seasons are in. Youth and honorably discharged deer season is open. We've got small game open. Fishing in the marshes is improving. Speckled trout, redfish getting active, moving in, doing the transition. So lots of things to talk about. I want to thank everybody for the text messages. I'll get to those in just a second. Let's see. We've got Jeff in Denham Springs. He says, and this is with regard to the stocking of the Florida strain bass into Lake Buff. I'm going to guess the same as you. The real question is, will it create a potential revenue stream if it's feasible to stock these fish for better fish every couple years? I think you're right, Jeff. It did work when they put the Florida bass in, but they got watered down over the years. It's not a permanent thing, but yeah, on short term, it does do good. But the question is it worth the expense of doing it as opposed to using the funds for other purposes? 4 to 7 inch fish is what they are putting. They supposedly had put them in last week. I'm assuming it went off, and that was the fish were provided by the American Sport Fish Hatchery in conjunction with funding from an organization called the Responsible Anglers United. All right, we got a question. I will ask Mike Gallo about that for you. And here's one that says, down with the Menhaden Industries overreach. Here's another one from my friend David in Mobile. Have the introduction of fingerlings throughout the waterways within Louisiana ever caused detrimental results? I'm thinking perhaps an invasive species somehow works its way and kills off the native species. Or have those cases been due to other experiments like introduction of Asian carp or irresponsible pet owners releasing fish into the wild? Just curious how they're regulated. Stocking invasive species, as far as the only one I know of that was kind of a Frankenstein disaster, was they put grass-eating carp into Caney Lake. Caney Lake was a phenomenal bass fishery. It was producing records for Louisiana and trophy bass. They got concerned about there was too much grass along the shoreline, so they put in grass-eating carp that was supposed to be sterile. Well, they were not sterile. They went out of control. They ate all the grass. They ruined the habitat. The bass fishery fell off. They went to the... Actually, they were putting used tires into the shorelines to try to create some habitat. I understand it has come back now, but not to what it once was. And that's another area where they had stocked some of those Florida bass. All right, the worm is gone fishing with Sean. Well, hope y'all catch some. Here's one that says, yeah, Don, if you remember the bass fishing in the early 90s in the Lafitte, Oswego area, bass were plentiful, didn't have any size to them. When they stocked southeast Louisiana with the Florida strain bass, the numbers went up significantly by the early 2000s when Mike Iaconelli won the Bass Masters Classic in 99 and Kevin Van Dam 10 years later breaking records. So I do think restocking helps tremendously. Well, then you got a little bit of incorrect information there. 1999, it was Davy Height. It wasn't Iaconelli. Iaconelli won it in 2003 in Louisiana. Kevin Van Dam has won it twice. KVD won it in, like you said, it was 2011, and he got 69 pounds, 11 ounces. He set a record. And, again, the Florida stocking does do short-term improvements, but eventually you'd have to keep putting them in there to keep the numbers and the size up. Now, whether people want to go through the expense and the funding's there, hey, knock itself out if it can be funded. I don't know if they would want to use regular license fees and taxpayer money to do it, but as long as there's organizations willing to put their bucks up, I see no harm in it. It doesn't hurt anything for sure. All right, here's one that says we're seeing several 12-foot gators along the intercoastal waterway between the Wrigley's and the wall by Bayou Bienvenue. The state needs to address overpopulation of gators. You know if there are any state initiatives planned to address this issue. That's from Doug. No, I do not, and I agree with you. Too many gators. Prices are down. The alligator hunters are not going out. The hides. And the meat, well, the meat's still got good value, but the hides have dropped significantly and doesn't make it worth to go out and get them. There are some people who are taking out-of-state hunters, and there's some money in it there and some removal of gators, and there's a lottery system to take a limited number, but they may one day want to consider just having an open season like they do on other game during certain times of the year for alligators. All right, we got more texts coming. I'll try to get to those a little bit later. But right now, we got a break we have to take. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Captain Mike Gallo. Got a listener question. We'll start off for him and find out what his plans for doing this front and after the front comes in through the Gulf Coast area. We're back right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And let's talk to our Born on the Bayou guy, Captain Mike Gallo, Angling Adventures of Louisiana, located in beautiful suburban Slidell at the Spots and Dots Lake House Lodge. And his reports, by the way, are brought to you by Seto. And if you haven't heard about them, and you probably have, and you've probably seen those yellow boats, big yellow boats, and boy, I tell you, it's one of the best sights you'll ever see if you happen to be broke down and you need assistance, because they'll give you boat towing, bring you fuel if you run out, jumpstart electrical problems, get you back to the dock or repair facility as many times as needed, all for only $249 for an entire year's coverage. How can you leave home without it? Get signed up. Captain Chris will do it for you over the phone at 504-301-4545 or go to seto.com. And if you're one of those very early Christmas shoppers, that's not a bad Christmas gift for a boater on your Christmas gift line. You don't need to know anything about what they've got. It's one price, covers everything. Let's talk to Captain Mike. Mike, I had a question came in for you. Someone says they've been fishing on the Chef in the Wrigley's area. Last three trips have not caught a bass. What is the deal? And I know you don't concentrate on bass, but you do catch them as bycatch when you're in that area. Have you been fishing those areas? And if you have you found any bass?
I have not fished specifically in the Wrigley's or the Chef this week, but I fished in the Pearl River system yesterday and caught a good sized bass.
Okay, well, and what did you catch it on? How were you fishing and what were you using?
Well, I had some Texans on my boat, and you know they love to throw that chatterbait.
Yeah.
So that's what it was, kind of an orangish looking chatterbait, so it may have mimicked a crawfish.
Boy, I love to catch fish on a chatterbait, especially those redfish. You know, it's just such a hit when you get it like that. Explain what a chatterbait is, because, you know, a lot of times we throw out these names of bait, and a lot of people totally unfamiliar with them. Describe the bait and how you work it.
Well, a chatterbait is originally started out as a bass lure. It's known as a bladed jig. It's a 3/8 or half-ounce jig. It's got a skirt on it. You fish it very similar to a spinnerbait, just a cast and retrieve, or you can cast and abbreviate your retrieve, you know, two fast cranks, one slow crank, you know, to break it up. It's a very versatile lure. It fishes lighter than it is. The half-ounce chatterbait seems to fish more like a 3/8, so that way you're able to cast it in heavy winds, but yet it still fishes like a lighter lure. Very versatile. The redfish will eat it up. Very popular. Very popular.
Only drawback with a chatterbait with redfish is they destroy them sometimes. You can't get them back into shape. Unlike a small bass that, you know, you can just take it out and keep reusing it. But, boy, when a big redfish gets it, sometimes they crush it.
That's true. Those Texans will buy 15 or 20 chatterbaits. Catch two redfish on it, cut it off, put it on the floor, and tie an oven on.
Yeah, a great problem to have. Well, Mike, what are your plans to deal with this frontal system that's approaching? It's just east of Houston, moving along the state line, going to be in sometime this evening or tonight in your area. What are you expecting it's going to do to tomorrow's fishing and even today's, as we got that sucking effect, you know, as it approaches?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of fishing the day of a front. But my guys came in all the way from Texas, so we're going to make a good effort, and we're going to hit the intercoastal waterway and fish several of the cuts and tributaries. If we're successful, obviously we'll squat. If you find fish on a frontal day, I would fish them as heavily as you can. But the plan will be to work our way towards the wall and then down the Mr. Go towards Violet. It'll be all protected water. We'll have phone reception where we could watch the radar. And it just provides safety in case the wind does pick up. We'll be able to get back and not have to deal with any heavy seas.
How's the water level over there? Once we get these stiff southeast and east winds, it brings the tide up. What's it looking like right now?
The tide's a little above average at the moment. I'm sitting on the back deck at the Dots Lodge. And I would say it might be a 6 or 8 mile an hour wind. It's not too heavy right now. We're going to jump in the boat as soon as I get off the phone and start heading towards the intercoastal. Hopefully we can get most of our running done in smooth water.
Very good. Say hello to the Texans for me. Good luck to you guys, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good, Don. We'll talk to you then.
All right, and you can reach Captain Mike Gallo at aaofla.com, or if you go to my website, dontheoutdoorsguy.com, you'll see a link to his. And if you prefer to call him, it's 985-781-7811. All right, coming back after this, we're going to check out what's going on at No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie. It's part of our Paddler's Report next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our Paddler's Report is brought to you each week by the folks at No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive. Going to be a busy place today. They've got a fly tying class at 10:30 and an iron fly competition, and they'll be awarding some prizes. And immediately following that, and this is open to the public, at 12:30, the American Saltwater Guide Association will host a town hall meeting. And they're going to talk about some reasonable management of the Gulf fisheries being impacted by the menhaden commercial fishing and what they can do to lobby for better policies. He says it's a way to organize and inform the community as they look to petition the state to make a change. They invite supporters as well as the opposition to allow a forum for civil discourse and hopefully come to an understanding of the issues, impacts, and solutions. That's from Justin Lang, the owner-operator of No Wake Outfitters. And there's an open invitation for those of you who work in the menhaden industry or are representatives of that industry, if you want to have your voice heard and discuss it, as he puts it, you know, with civil discourse. 12:30 today, American Saltwater Guide Association's Town Hall. That's at 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie. Also got some great products over there, too. All right, let's bring in Lance Burgess to give us our paddler's report. Lance, let me ask you this. What does the forecast of 12 to 25 knot east and south winds do to the enthusiasm and optimism of a guy with a kayak?
It makes you reach deep into your bag of tricks and find places north and maybe even think about just calling it a day.
Yeah, it can be tough for a paddler. What has been the patterns, though, lately for people who have had some success paddling? I know you got a little honey hole you go to kind of out west this time of year. Have you been there lately?
I have not been out west, but, I have gotten some great reports from, Hank Berry and Trout, showing back up. Still in the ship channel there, but those guys will be faced with the same wind we have today across the entire coast. But I did get a chance to take the sun out. Went down Highway 23. I followed up on Brenda's report and even went a little further north of the Buras area. And great. I mean, the water was so pretty in the morning, and it was perfect until later in midday, late morning. When winds picked up, but we tried a little prefrontal fishing and found some reds, some of the topwater blow ups. We got to see a couple of those. So it was a good day yesterday.
Yeah, we had some kind of chilly starts to the mornings, and I'm assuming that's going to affect the water temperature. And we did get some reports that the redfish are really getting more active. They're kind of lethargic when that water's real hot, but boy, as those waters cool. And for a kayaker, that's extremely important because a lot of times that takes place within close reaches of the marinas and the launch spots.
Well, that's exactly right. And, this time of year, it's comfortable from a temperature position in the weather. But even more so, you still have some opportunities to get into some ponds. My son got into the pond and actually got to sight fish yesterday a little bit. So that's kind of fun. Pretty soon, November's kind of the end of the last run before these ponds really get blown out. The north winds will come and those ponds will get blown out and the kayakers and everyone will have to look for deeper waters to really, have some productive fishing.
Yeah, those connecting bayous and canals will be the spot then. Lancey, Bayou Coast Kayak Club got a little bit of a break until December the 6th. Fall and Tide going to be held at the Delta Marina down in Buras. That is a real popular event.
Yeah, one of our favorite tournaments of the year. This one's not part of the series and the tournament, the championship series. So I'm open to the public. Everybody, kids fish it. Lots of different categories, lots of different prizes. It is a true Cajun Slam tournament, and it's going to be on Highway 23, which is no coincidence that we've been kind of checking that area out and try to provide great reports.
Yep, got some good stuff going on down there. Anything else you need to add for the guys with the paddles in the hand or the electric motors now on kayaks, too?
Yeah, I tell you, the Lafayette guys have their turkey trout throwdown at Sippermore Point November 1st. At the 5 Trout Stringer Tournament, shotgun style. So that's a good deal. But, yeah, I hope everybody can, everybody that's got kayaks or thinking about it, go demo them and check them out. This is the best time of the year before we really get into some cold, hard weather, and the fishing is just going to get better and better.
Yeah, except for this one little system that's moving in. Boy, October's been really a pretty month. We've had some windy periods, too, but for the most part, we've had a lot of blue sky.
Yep, absolutely. Yep, we've been taking advantage of it, and hopefully we'll see what happens next weekend with the weather, and maybe the weekend will give us an opportunity to get back on the water.
All right. Sounds good, Lance. Thank you so much for the report. We appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks, Tom.
All right. We'll get to you next time. All right. Get back to our text board. Let's see. We got where did we leave? Okay. Here's one with regard to the upcoming commission meeting. One says, I think the Louisiana Wildlife and Fishery Commission members are appointed by the governor. You are correct. One of the members is from Abbeville. You're going to get what the governor wants and probably won't hear a peep from him. The one you're talking about is actually the chairman, Kevin Segrera. He's from Abbeville. And yes, they are appointed by the governor. I'm not sure what the governor's stance on the menhaden industry in Louisiana is. It'd be interesting to find out. Maybe someone needs to ask him. Maybe I can be the one to do that. And Nuck Charis is checking in. He says they should stock peacock bass. Boy, wouldn't that be wonderful if we could get peacock to survive in Louisiana waters. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think Ryan Lambert had some experience with peacock bass. Maybe we can talk to him a little bit about that. And here's one that says, send the menhaden industry packing and find new revenue sources. We have to preserve our estuaries. All right, we got some more texts coming. If you'd like to get one in, fishing reports, comments, questions, they're welcomed at 504-260-1870. And coming back after this, I got a story about a guy. He risked a lot of money, which he's going to lose, and is actually his freedom to go deer hunting. We'll tell you the bad boy, the outdoor story, coming up next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And we'll be hearing from the Plastic Man coming up shortly, but right now we're going to take a quick 10-second station ID, and on the back side of that, I'm going to tell you about a bad boy story. But before we get to that ID, I got a couple of texts in. Old Man Sam's checking in. He's on his way driving back from a high school reunion in Caldwell Parish to Tangipahoa Parish. How many years was it, Old Man Sam? Was it a bunch of old people there that you saw? That's what I usually find when I go to my high school reunions. All right, here's a good morning from our Ohio listener. Came in from checking fences out back. There's a nice frost. Ooh, that sounds good. And the pre-dawn sky is a magnificent cerulean blue. I'm not sure what that color is. I have to look that up. Sure is pretty, but I do miss home. That's from our Ohio listener. Also got a bass report from a friend of mine. He says, Bayou Lacombe used a June bug hula stick for bass in Bayou Lacombe. He lives on the bayou, and he gets out there pretty frequently and does pretty good catching bass in Bayou Lacombe. All right, we're going to pause these quick 10 seconds and come back to tell you about a guy. Boy, what a risk he took, and unfortunately, he got caught. He's next. He's our bad boy of the outdoors after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, in Bienville Parish, on September 28th, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery agents were patrolling when they observed Dennis Laborde hog hunting at night near Lake Bistineau. The agents found that he is under hunting license suspension for unpaid hunting violations. Agents also learned that Laborde is a convicted felon and was in possession of a rifle with an illegal sound suppressor. The agents arrested Laborde, booked him into the Bienville Parish Detention Center. For hunting while under a hunting license suspension already, possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, very serious, illegal use of a firearm, and hunting without a basic hunting license, if convicted, facing criminal fines of up to $6,850 plus 20 years in jail, is 44-year-old Dennis Laborde of Ringo, Louisiana, a man whose urge to hunt was so compelling it caused him to take enormous risks, as well as be today's bad boy of the outdoors. Oh, man, when will they ever learn, huh? They had to go hunting for hogs at night, and you almost feel sorry for him. But I guess, you know, he was left no choice. If he was going to enjoy hunting, even though his privileges had been suspended, he couldn't get a license, and he wanted to enjoy one of the country's greatest and most treasured privileges, he took the chance. I'm a firm believer. If you want to deter illegal fishing and hunting, you need to make it crystal clear that those caught, brought to justice, will never be able to fish or hunt again. And I have been told and seen studies from psychiatrists who have interviewed a lot of these people, the biggest deterrent, bigger than huge fines, confiscations, and even jail time, the biggest fear of an outdoorsman is that they will never be able to allowed to be hunting or fishing again. And I can understand that. I call it the death penalty of the outdoors. So, and unfortunately, Mr. Laborde, he may, if he gets the max, and, you know, having a being a convicted felon with a firearm, plus these added charges, and he hasn't learned his lesson, obviously, he could be 64 years old before he gets out of prison. And I hope he's got $6,850 to pay, too, which I seriously doubt. What do you think? 504-260-1870. That's our text line. If you got a fishing report, comment, or question, it's wide open for you. We're going to be talking to Captain Ryan Lambert, our plastic man, in just a few minutes. And also, after that, we're going to close out the show talking to the Louisiana Wildfowl Directors. We're going to have Emil Broussard and Gene Hebert joining us. They've been on here before, you may recall. Saturday today at 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. and tomorrow from 9 to 4, the Louisiana Wildfowl Festival will be open at the Castine Center. Beautiful place. Pelican Park in Mandeville. It's right off of Highway 190, close to Fountain Blue State Park. And going to tell us about some of the sites you'll see there. This is put on by the Louisiana Wildfowl Carvers and Collectors Guild. And this is a group of really talented artists who do some amazing carving. It never ceases to amaze me, the realism. And when you look at some of these decoys that they carve, and birds and other wildlife and wildfowl, it's almost to the point where you think if you blew on it, that the feathers would move. They are that realistic and precise. And besides that, bring the kids, because they've got a table where there are people there to assist. They've got students, art students, who will be there to help the kids make and paint their own duck head pin or butterfly brooch. And again, this is put on by the Louisiana Wildfowl Carvers and Collectors Guild and Art Festival, and it's going to be today and tomorrow. We're going to talk more about it, and we talked to Gene and Emil, so stay tuned for that. But right now, we're going to take a quick break. We come back, Ryan Lambert, Play It Plastic Man, joins us right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes. Stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead. Try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And we'll get to the Plastic Man in just a second. And I got a report came in from our friend Blaine Salter. But, you know, and I did want to just briefly mention parts of his report. It says Old River Morganza's produced some really big socolay right now. All you got to do is go about 200 yards in front of Old River Landing. You can pick up, 15 to 20 a day. You also find them in about 12 to 15 feet of water. And I'll probably get to this report again at another time. But let me bring in the Plastic Man, Captain Ryan Lambert. And, we were talking about stocking bass in Louisiana, and somebody came up with the idea of peacock bass. I think you fish peacock bass, huh?
I have, and they're very, very aggressive fish, too. They, when their fry is in the water, they will attack anything comes near them.
It's, probably wouldn't work in Louisiana, though, huh? Isn't it real warm water fish?
I don't don't think we ought to stock anything that's not indigenous per se. You know, that kind of fish. You know, that's just, it just leads to the depletion of other species because they're so aggressive.
Yeah, I don't know that they would survive. I think they're pretty much a warm water fish to begin with.
Yeah, because when I, you know, they weigh down by Miami, but they don't go further north than a certain line there because of the weather.
Yeah. I got another question that came in, too. Some fishermen have been seeing some posted signs around the Neptune Pass area, which you are very familiar with, and yes, they're wondering if that's only to keep fishermen out during the duck season, or is that because they're, you know, to keep people out altogether. It doesn't specify on the signs.
Well, those guys right there, they have like 20-something cameras in there, and anybody goes in there, they have the police waiting when you get back. They don't want anybody fishing in there. They don't want anybody doing nothing in there.
Is that legal? I mean, is these man-made private canals, or is it open water?
There's pipeline canal. Where the ones that I see are the pipeline canal because it's straight as an arrow, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's man-made, so I don't know. If they were like that, I don't know.
I guess it'll have to eventually be worked out in the courts. But, I mean, if it's only during duck season, most fishermen understand that.
It's all the time.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Yeah, they have people, they come running. You know, it's a
strange
deal.
Yeah.
You know, I think they bought that land, so, you know, everybody's buying everything up down there. It's getting really weird.
Yeah, well, you know, it's going to really throw a wrench into all of that is when the restoration starts working, and it has been working. Who owns the property that's been funded, you know, through taxpayer money and special funding?
Yeah, well, there's, you know, as the land erodes, it goes to the state when it goes to water. So
yeah, so when it comes back,
what's going to happen when it reverses?
Yeah, that's a question.
You know, I'm going to build the land and I'm going to let the young people fight over that. I'm going to be dead by the time it happens. You know,
but that'll be somebody else's problem.
By the time that war starts, you know, the land is building like crazy. So we'll see. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee right now, coming back from Canada.
Oh, okay.
It was good, but not as good as in past years. I didn't see the big funnels of ducks like I normally see up there.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell the duck populations are down. You can tell just by just what you're seeing.
Did you find any geese?
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of geese.
Yeah.
The snows, they still had a few snows up, but most of the snows left already. Big, you know, giant honkers, but those are so much fun. Good grief.
Yeah, it's a shame we don't really have those anymore, you know, other than the resident populations of them. Well, you know, they had them. They used to come to Louisiana in big numbers, and then back in the early 60s is when they intentionally short-stopped them, and it went on. It passed it down to genetics to where they just don't migrate down here anymore.
I wonder why they did that. You know, why would you do something like that?
Because they wanted to keep them up there. they didn't want to share them with the coastal area, you know. So
that's so ridiculous.
Yeah, well, some of it's going on today, too, with ducks, so that's a whole other...
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, it's money agreed. That's all it is, just like down here with the land and stopping the restoration. I mean, it's just crazy these days, but I'm going to keep fighting it. You can bet on that.
Yeah, well, I know you will. We got another fight coming up, too, with the menhaden industry, the pogie boats. I haven't seen the actual resolution, but what I'm hearing is they want to come in even closer. You know, I guess they're proud of that study that was done and said they didn't catch enough fish. They need to catch more.
Well, you know, there's politics involved in it, or it would never be rescinded. So, you know, the people are going to have to stand up.
Yeah.
You know, just like with my zone thing with the ducks, they said the majority rules. You know, the majority of people wanted to keep it the same. Well, the majority of people don't want the menhaden boats close, too. So, you know, if you're going to do that for one, you have to do it for everything.
Yeah. Well, you know, the menhaden industry, I think, could kill their golden goose by doing this because they had reached an agreement. Now they want to back out of it. And you look at Florida, you look at Alabama and Mississippi and Texas, and, you know, we're the ones that give up everything. Nobody else. They don't want to allow it. And, you know, we'll see what happens with it. I think they might have opened a big can of worms that anacondas are going to come out of.
I think they swatted a hornet's nest on this one because when you go back on, you know, they ain't going to deal, you know, that's – They got some coonasses really ticked off right now. I tell you that.
Right. I know. I've heard from them too. Well, look, enjoy yourself up there in Nashville. When you going to be back home?
Today. I'm on my way home at 11 o'clock.
Okay. Well, look forward to getting you back home. Hope you arrive safe. We got a front waiting for you when you come down here too.
Yeah, I know. It's a nasty one too.
Yeah. Well, have a good one. Well, thank you for the report, and we'll check in with you next week.
All right, my buddy. See you soon.
All right, Captain Ryan Lambert. He's our CajunFishingAdventures.com. You can reach him there. All right, when we come back after this, we're going to be talking to Gene and also Emil about the Louisiana Wildfowl Festival. Might be a nice place to go on a rainy weekend. We'll tell you why right after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we've got a big show coming to Mandeville. In fact, it's going to be opening the doors at 9 a.m. tomorrow. It's called the Louisiana Wildfowl Festival, and it is put on by the Louisiana Wildfowl Carvers and Collectors Guild. And for those guys there, it is actually a competition. They are competing for awards and prize money. But to tell us what is there for the public, because it is open to the public, and for visitors, we have Gene Hebert and Emil Broussard joining us. Emil and Gene, thanks for being with us this morning.
Good morning, Don. Thanks for having us. We're excited to invite everyone to our 46th annual Wildfowl Festival, but we do have our doors opening this morning as well.
Very good.
Saturday and Sunday.
Right. 9 a.m. both days, 5 o'clock today, and it'll close at 4 p.m. tomorrow. Kind of take us through the building there at the Castine Center as we walk through and tell us what we're going to see. How's it set up?
Well, right at the front door, we have our reception desk where they can sign in. We have a $5 admission, and for kids under 12, it's free. And then as they walk into the doors, they'll see our featured artist, and we have some examples of his work. And then behind that will be the antique dealers, and as they make their way around, they'll find the vendors. We have vendors with crafts and jewelry. And then as they make their way to the other side of the auditorium, it's the competition tables with all of the decoys. We have contemporary decoys and antique decoy competition. And we have carvers from all over the U.S., Canada, and Puerto Rico. And they're competing for $45,000 in prize money. It's beautiful work. And we'd love to have everyone come see all of the carvings and come join us over here at the Castine Center in Mandeville.
I'm sure there are on-hand demonstrations of carving that are going on, because I've seen it down there. And I'll bet you a lot of your members, that's how they got started. They came to the show, they got to talking and watching someone actually carve out a decoy and decided, you know, this is something I'm very interested in. Who will be doing some of those demonstrations?
Well, we have some of our members and some of the folks visiting from other parts of the country. And absolutely, there'll be wood shavings all over the floor. And they'll have about 8 or 10 guys carving some duck heads. And that's one of our live demonstrations. In addition to that, we have a live bird demo both days. And Miss Sarah Farrell with Wind in Our Wings, she brings some live birds. And you can get really up close and see a demonstration as she talks about the different birds she has. And we have a live painting demo on Sunday.
Now, you really need to bring the kids, because you got that special activity table set up, and kids love it. And, boy, it is so important. If we're going to continue this outdoor, you know, heritage that we enjoy here in Louisiana, we need to bring the young people in.
We're trying to do more and more for the kids as we go along. We have a carving where the kids can sit there and carve a duck head or a Christmas ornament. We have adults supervising them while they're doing that.
We have some young student artists that will accompany them, and they'll help them paint. They can do a duck head, a butterfly brooch, or also Christmas ornaments, and they are able to take those home with them as a souvenir.
And that's absolutely free, no charge.
Yeah, no charge.
That's wonderful to put that out. The pins, I've seen them in those kids. That's something they can take home and treasure. Now, you also have the results of some kids' competition, too, don't you?
Absolutely. We have several different categories. We have novice and intermediate and professional. So the younger people, if they aspire to be artists, can enter their carvings and compete. And some of them do have cash awards.
You know, guys, 46 years ago when this organization was started by a bunch of guys who were carving their decoys because they needed decoys to hunt or they just enjoyed it, did you ever think that it would turn out to be what it is today, this big festival that has brought in so much revenue and prize money and participation and interest from the general public?
Well, it's evolved into a more of an art form than it is a craft. You know, we kind of pride ourselves on capturing the bird accuracy.
Very good.
Yeah, well, and you know, we really see the passion and the determination by folks to recreate nature, and they'll see things at its best coming over here at the Castine Center, because these birds look almost like taxidermy, and they started out with a block of wood. And it created something beautiful.
It amazes me because I have no talent for it. I might be able to handle one of the duck head pins or the butterfly brooch, but that's about as far as I could go. You guys amaze me, and it's very pleasing to see the work that these people do. Well, guys, thanks for joining us. Again, doors open today at 9 to 5, and then tomorrow from 9 to 4, and it's only $5 to get in. Kids get in free. Gene Hebert and Emil Broussard, great job on the 46th annual. We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Don. We got plenty of free parking. We hope you can come visit us today. And we'll see you at the Castine Center in Mandeville.
All right. It's very easy to find right now at Fountain Blue State Park. All right. That's going to wrap it up for today. Glad you joined us this morning. Stay out of that frontal weather. Find something else to do till it passes. And then tune us again in next week, 5 to 7 a.m. We do this each and every Saturday morning. We call it The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.